AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
If you haven't turned your radio off yet, yes, hour number two, Rogan and Rodney, Rob Parker and Jonas Knox filling in for the guys from Fox Sports Radio. Our telephone number, 866-987-2570. So much more in this second hour. Coming up, we're also going to talk to the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. We'll do some more NFL stuff. We'll talk about Magic Johnson, you know, flashing that championship Lakers ring. And
Well earned.
How cool that was. But Jonas, let's kick it off with some baseball. You know, hot stove. Man, here we are, you know, turning into the new year. Be pitchers and catchers sooner, I hope, than later. But the Padres aren't messing around. They made the playoffs last year. They have a good team, Jonas. Do you like the Padres?
Yeah, they're good. They're exciting. You know, a lot of flash, a lot of sizzle. We saw that last year.
Tatis is a stud.
Yeah, he is. He's a really, really talented guy. So, yeah, there's a lot there if you're a Padre fan. And I don't know anybody that is. But if you were, hypothetically speaking, there is a lot there that you would like about the Padres.
Well,
again, I mean, and above and beyond the fact that they have a sandbox in their stadium. You know, above and beyond that. For kids.
Nothing wrong with that, you know. Just keep the sandbox dry and it's all good for everybody.
No, I agree.
But here are the Dodgers, right, sitting on 8 straight NL West titles. They own it, you know. Finally snapped that long drought, won the World Series, first time since 1988. Everybody's feeling great. And the Padres are like, yeah, oh, okay, we got something for you. And they went out and got Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell to add that lefty. You remember he pitched in the World Series last year? You remember?
I do remember that, yeah.
When they took him out when he had a perfect game or whatever it was. Throwing.
Yeah.
All right, maybe it wasn't a perfect game, but he was pitching damn well.
He was pitching really well, yeah, I remember. Yeah, it's the Padres are getting aggressive, and now there's a report out, and there's several reports. And this actually... I think some people thought that if they went out and made a move like this, that it would kill their chances of being able to go out and get Yu Darvish, because that was the original report that was out there. One of the rumors was they were trying to go out and make a move for Yu Darvish because the Cubs are basically stripping everything down and going to have to restart and rebuild.
That's probably why Theo Epstein bounced out of there. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, Theo Epstein wanted out. He's going to go someplace else. And there were some questionable... Let's not pretend like Theo Epstein had every home run move in the world there. The Jason Hayward signing, some of these other signings were not great moves by the Cubs. But nonetheless, so the Padres are in talks to get Yu Darvish. Then the news comes out that they're acquiring Blake Snell, and you'd assume, oh, okay, well, they were just in line for one starter, and that's all they were looking to do. And now you see all these reports earlier this morning in which you've got the Padres still pursuing Yu Darvish even after getting Blake Snell, and you've got Bob Nightingale, who covers MLB.
One of the best baseball writers in the country.
Yeah, and a dynamite interview. And so you've got Bob Nightingale, who comes on Twitter and says, there's the strong chance that not only do the Padres land Yu Darvish, but it might even be completed before the end of the day. So we're talking like a 24-hour stretch in which the Padres will end up with Blake Snell, Cy Young winner, and then you've got Yu Darvish, who was the runner-up to the Cy Young
last
season.
And he pitched his butt off this past year. He was tremendous.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah. So, the Padres are making moves, Rob Parker. They are making moves.
They went out and picked up Mike Clevinger, who's injured.
Yeah.
They got him from the From the tribe. Can you call him the tribe? Yeah, from the team from in Cleveland.
Well, you can call him the Indians for another year.
Right, one more year, and then they're changing that name. But my point is, they are really making moves. I already love, we already know Manny Machado and also Tatis.
Yeah.
And then there's a report out that they just signed some really good infielder from Korea as well. That the Padres have reached agreement with this guy. So
what's
they
his,
are.
What's his name? Would you mind?
Good luck. Good luck. I mean,
it would be reading his name.
It would be like me watching. You know, when you used to watch Hawaii 5-0, and at the end, and then they would have the guy, the Asian guy, the Hawaiian guy, and they would have one name, and then they'd give him his name on the show, and I'm like, I can't say either one. So I'm out.
I just love how you were about ready to list off the names, and once you saw what it actually was, you just said, "It's better to just say where he came from." I don't even want to go down that road.
Hey, Kev, do you know how to say his name?
I do not know how to pronounce his name.
It's
so.
Haseong Kim.
Yes.
So, I've just never seen that name, and I just don't want to butcher it.
You know who would
Jonas,
know.
Jonas, do you know it?
I call him HSK.
Oh, is that? There you go.
You know who would know this is our friend Vic the Brick, who will be here this time next hour for the haiku, so we can ask Vic how to pronounce this name.
Yes. So I didn't want to butcher it, but anyway, the Padres have picked him up and have reached an agreement with him. So the Padres are doing a lot of stuff. I already liked their team a year ago.
Yeah,
and I really did, and I think that there's two things working against the Dodgers. Now, we know free agency still come in, and the Dodgers, you know, are looking at LeMahieu, Bauer. Now, if they add those guys, then I'll reevaluate, and I'll change my mind if they add those two guys.
Please don't sign Trevor Bauer, please.
I mean, he can pitch, though.
He's just so obnoxious,
wasn't
man.
He the first Cincinnati Red pitcher ever to win the Cy Young?
I just got to know, who's the person who lied to Trevor Bauer when he was younger and told him he was funny? Like, who lied to him? Like, who's the guy? Who's the a-hole who lied to him and told him he was funny? Because he is so unfunny, man.
You know who
he
tries too hard. It was Shecky Green, and now you know why there's a problem.
Whoever it was, him, Dave Coulier, who it was, whoever lied to him and told him he was funny, you really did us a disservice. Because now he, like, thinks he's Mr. Comedian on his YouTube channel or whatever app. It's just nauseating. Please don't sign Trevor Bauer. Come on. We don't need that.
But that's out there. And LeMahieu would be great. That guy second behind Mookie Betts. If you get LeMahieu from the Yankees, this guy won a batting title, and he's a professional hitter. He's really good. And the Dodgers have money to spend because they were able to defer a lot of that money that Mookie Betts got. But I know I'm going to throw out the number, 866-987-2570. The other thing working against the Dodgers, they've won the division 8 years in a row. It's not going to be every year. You're going to drop off. I get the talent. They won a World Series inside the bubble down in Arlington. I like the Padres a lot. They're hungry. I would give the Padres the advantage. I want to hear from you. Is it possible? Are you afraid? I'm most Dodger fans are going to roll their eyes at me because I'm talking about the Padres.
Yeah.
But do they scare you at all? I mean, Jonas, they're not going anywhere. They got young talent.
Yeah, look, but how many times do we have to go through sports and talk about, oh, this team's got real young talent. They could be the next big thing. And then it never amounts to anything, man. There was a lot of people who felt like the Dodgers were that they got all this young talent, but they could just never get over the hump. They could just never figure it out when it mattered. I don't think Dodger fans are looking at the Padres news going, oh my God, everybody hold on to your championship pennants and hats and merchandise because the Padres are going to come take it. I don't believe that that's the case.
Yeah, but my only thing is this is the thing that kills me about when you win a championship and people become the prisoner of the moment. LeBron James has won 4 championships in 17 years and automatically he's going to repeat. Oh, yeah, it's just a foregone conclusion. You know what 4-for-17 is if you're a Major League Baseball player? You're batting 235, all right? So let's get you know, like, calm down. And then the Dodgers, they win their first World Series since Moby Dick was a guppy or whatever it was, 1988. And all of a sudden, they're going to win again. Oh, yeah, so easy. They'll just win again. They'll win the division for the ninth straight time. There's nobody else that matters. Come on, man.
All right, but here's the problem. You're trying to say that the Padres, who have never done anything, I mean, nothing whatsoever, are all of a sudden going to take this giant leap because they had Blake Snell and Yu Darvish? Like, that's going to be...
Blake Snell was in the World Series a year ago with a team called the somewhat Tampa Bay... Rays?
Yeah, the
Rays. Can you name anybody in that lineup? And now he goes with Manny Machado and Tatis and that lineup that they have. I mean, Blake Snell is a game changer. You put him at the top of your rotation, and he pitches every fifth day.
This is like next Rob Parker's going to tell In-N-Out they're in trouble because Hector's Hamburguesa has just opened up across the street. Right? This is you.
Yeah, but they have 2-for-1 fries over there.
Of course they do. And Mike, can we just point out how much you love saying the name Tatis? And I think I know why. All right, because if you say it fast, all of a sudden we're getting thrown off the air. So we got to be real careful when you start breaking down the Padres here on AM 570 LA Sports because your mind goes in direct. I don't think is safe for listeners to be a part of. But that being said, Dodger fans aren't worried at all about him.
If they get Yu Darvish, what would you? If they pull off the Yu Darvish thing and they get Snell and Darvish and add to that rotation,
neat.
You don't think they're formidable to win the division?
No, I think they're a threat, but I don't think it's anything you lose sleep over. I mean, neat. Like, this isn't the Giants who were winning 3 World Series in a matter of 6 seasons or 7 years, whatever it was. Man, the Padres are still trying to figure this thing out. They're on the rise, no doubt about it. But it's not like the Dodgers all of a sudden have this aging team. See, I think there's some comps here between the Clippers and the Lakers conversation. But here's the big difference. I believe the Clippers are a legitimate threat to the Lakers because I do think at some point in time, the age of LeBron James is going to catch up. And regardless of what anybody wants to say about Anthony Davis, LeBron James is the lifeblood of that team, and he's the best player on that team. If the best player on your team starts to show his age, you got problems. And don't sell me on any of these other guys on the bench. Whereas the Clippers, you've got championship pedigree. You got a coach with championship pedigree. You've got Kawhi Leonard with championship pedigree. That's a real threat over there. What do you have on the Padres? Eric Hosmer? Like, he's the
he
guy
won a
who
World
won
a, Series in Kansas it. City in 2015. How quickly we forget.
I get it. But Eric Hosmer is not going to be the linchpin to a Padres overtaking of the Dodgers in
and
the
you
NL
know
West.
What it is? It's called pitching, and that's what Snell and Darvish, if you go into a series and those two guys are at the top of your rotation, you're going to be – and the Padres have a couple other guys, too. It's not just those two. But you will have a legitimate chance to win. That's all I'm saying. All right, I want to hear from everybody. 866-987-2570. The Padres are making some noise. Are you bothered, worried, concerned that they could overtake the Dodgers? Here they come. You hear that? That's not just a couple of chili dogs whistling at you. It's the Padres coming. It is Rob Parker and Jonas Knox. It is Rogan and Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
It is lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Yes, sir. On your New Year's week, Monday, Rob Parker, Jonas Knox. We're both from Fox Sports Radio. Our telephone number 866-987-2570. Want to hear about the Padres coming up on the Dodgers. Are you buying it?
And Rob, as we start 2021, join us in giving Children's Hospital Los Angeles a high five with a $5 weekly gift, auto billed monthly to a credit or debit card. Donate now at chla.org/high five.
All right, Jonas, thank you. I'm sorry, man. I got a potato chip. You caught me.
Ah, yes. Well, Rob Parker is working on that potato chip here on AM570 LA Sports. We do have Gilberto, who is listening to us here from Inglewood here on AM570 LA Sports. Gilberto, are you buying into the threat of the San Diego Padres as Rob Parker, before you started having lunch, was pointing out earlier in the show?
Nah, man. Rob Parker's tripping, dude. San Diego ain't got nothing on us, man. We got Walker Buehler. We got Urias. And, you know, we got all these little other cats that are up and coming. We're going to be good.
Now, wait a minute. Gilberto.
Money?
You're telling me that if they have Snell and Darvish, you're really thinking that the Padres can't compete for the NL West?
Tell me Urias and Walker Buehler are nobodies. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the law of averages work against the Dodgers. They've won the division 8 years in a row. How many are you going to win it?
I mean, it's not our fault that they suck.
All right.
Keep it real, man.
I got it. I'm just trying to warn you ahead of time so you don't get all worked up. 866-987-2570. Appreciate you. Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Mitch, who's listening in New Jersey on AM570 LA Sports. Mitch, Rogan and Rodney, Jonas Knox, and Rob Parker filling in. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Same to you, Bob. Same to you.
Drink a nice cold one. What I'm talking about with those potato chips there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm all good. Not a Diet Coke cold one. You know, I got another show to do tonight, but I can't do that one yet. But all good, man, Mitch. What you got for us?
Pace yourself. They're getting closer, but our farm system's deep. I want to see J.D. Peters. And I'm looking forward to this coming year with May and Gosling. And, of course, you got Walker and CK will be fine. I think they're not ready yet. And we're going to win.
But if they get Snell and Darvish, you don't think they're going to make a threat with the lineup that they have?
Our lineup is still better. And I think our starting pitching is still a little better. Clevenger, they won't get to the following year. He had Tommy John surgery.
Right, right. I know, but they're loading up, right.
Well, we're loading up, too. It's not like we're cutting anybody.
I mean, I just – here. This is my thing. The Dodgers have finally figured out, okay, this is what it takes to get over the hump. You know, whatever you want to think of the shortened season and they didn't play a bunch of games. But this could be a team that is destined to go on a couple of – you know, a couple more World Series, maybe win a couple of more, make a run at this. Like, it's not like they were built for just this 1 year and they won it and now they're going to fall apart. Like,
you also act like it didn't take an ultimate choke job by the Atlanta Braves. You know that,
oh, 100%.
That in Atlanta. I mean, the Dodgers were down in a big hole. They were able to win and get it, and I 100%. Give them their respect for doing that. But
no,
let's not 100%. Act like it was a cakewalk and everybody just rolled over and rolled into a little ball because they were so afraid of the Dodgers.
I just think when it comes to baseball, look, and the Padres know this. Remember when they got Mike Clevenger, Rob? People were talking about that, like that was the move of the deadline before they made the move.
Oh my God. And then he got hurt.
Exactly. So it's not like Yu Darvish hasn't had some issues both mentally and physically before. Who the hell knows with Blake Snell? He can't pitch past five innings. It's like the third time through the lineup he always falls apart. So it's not like they went out and just got, you know, two future Hall of Fame shutdown pitchers. These are good pitchers, but pitching is that's a tough thing to figure out because you don't know health-wise who's going to be available. You're not really sure if these guys are going to adapt to that. I'm not ready to just sit there and go all of a sudden the Dodgers should be, you know, deathly afraid and Dodger fans should be deathly afraid. I just think we got to wait and see what we got with the Padres before we start making proclamations are going to all of a sudden overtake the NL West. That's me personally. You don't. You just go straight to the conclusion. Like, you just skip right past
there
all
of go.
It. There
you go. Yeah. Don't forget, we got 3 hours to kill. I mean, I can't wait around.
And so now you're going to – we'll take the actual opposite opinion of that. Next hour, I'll say the Padres are going to win the division, and then you'll say the opposite, and we'll just see who was listening all 3 hours. See, that's
no,
the
we're
move.
Not going to do that. No, we don't want to do that. All right, can we switch? We're going to talk to the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson, coming up. But let's get some NFL stuff coming up. that definitely we want to get to with him. And, you know, we already know about the we talked about the Rams. We're going to talk about the Chargers as well, and Anthony Lynn and his job if they win another game.
Yeah.
Right? Consider that they were they could wind up being 7-9. And when you think about all the games that they lost early on, where they could be, and you think, Jonas, that maybe that could save Anthony Lynn's job?
I don't think so. If I were gambling on it, I would say that Anthony Lynn is probably gone. Just look, there's been a couple of moments this year where you look at that team and go, what the hell? That game against the Patriots, I think we've all figured out the Patriots are just not a good team. I mean, they're just not a good team right now. And that was an absolute decimation on the road for the Patriots against the Chargers. The Chargers were at home, Rob Parker, and they got completely embarrassed and shut out. And you look at a loss like that, and it's hard for me to think that Anthony Lynn survived something like that. And you mentioned when it comes to, because we're going to be catching up with Eric Dickerson, we've been talking about the Jared Goff injury, the thumb issue he had yesterday. He was not good before the injury. He was definitely not good after the injury. Adam Schefter of ESPN just sent this out, that Jared Goff is meeting today with the same doctor who treated Drew Brees last year for his thumb injury. Goff will need thumb surgery at some point. The question is, man, when to get it. His status for Sunday remains uncertain. I don't know how he plays. If he does play, Rob, like this, if it's a pinky, at least he's not gripping the ball with that. No, this is your thumb. I don't know how this is going to work. And then on top of it, you lose Henderson, the running back, to a high ankle sprain. I don't know, man. This does not look good for the LA Rams heading into Week 17. And even if they do get into the postseason now, I mean, what can you actually expect from them, seeing as Jared Goff's now dealing with this injury?
I remember being in high school. What separates us from the apes is the thumbs that we have, right? They don't have the thumb.
What the hell are you talking about? Yeah,
I'm just saying that's what the thumb is very, very important.
You're ridiculous. I was
taught that the thumb was what separated us. I'm telling you.
You know what is crazy though, when you think about the Rams, if they were one game away, and their defense showed up in that Super Bowl from winning. If they won that Super Bowl,
would have said that Tom Brady and the Patriots would be held to 13 points in the Super Bowl, and that offense averaged almost 35 points that year. They were unbelievable, and they should have won. You like going in, and for them to get three, and I always exaggerate it because that's like it was an 89-yard field goal. That's how close they got to scoring. I mean, they needed some unbelievable kick to get them 3 points. That's all they got. Yeah. Tom Brady's first pass in that Super Bowl was an interception.
Yeah, it's just, and that's why, and you know this from covering sports as long as you have, when you get there, you better close because there's no guarantees you're going to get back. I mean, look at what's happened to the Falcons since they lost their Super Bowl. And so when you see just the bad luck go in the direction of the Rams and Jared Goff suffer the injury and now, you know, their playoff hopes are could be completely dashed because of this, you're now a year removed and you're now further away from that Super Bowl. And I don't know how you feel good about Jared Goff moving forward, honestly.
No, I agree. And even McVay, I mean, where are you now? I mean, he was the boy wonder, right? Oh, my God, the youngest coach in the NFL. Anybody who had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll with them, they hired. You remember that? I mean, it was like anybody he touched. That's how Cliff Kingsbury has a gig in Arizona, right? Because of McVay. But let me tell you, you got to be disappointed now because I think the Rams are going the other way. And somehow, if they don't make the playoffs, which, you know, they still have a good shot because a lot of things have to happen for them not to make it. But their best chance might have come and gone already. You know? It is Rogan and Rodney, AM 570, LA Sports. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox filling in for Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on your Monday. We're expecting to hear from the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson, get into some more NFL talk. The other thing that, if you're a Raiders fan, you can't be happy with the job that John Gruden has done. I know they're in Las Vegas now. There's still a million Raiders fans, of course, in L.A. and the ties here. But my goodness, what was that yesterday? How did they blow that game, not scoring a touchdown when they should have, and then they still wind up losing? I mean, the Raiders have lost, I think, five of their last six. They paid John Gruden a gazillion dollars. And go back. When he went to Tampa Bay and took over Tony Dungy's team, they won a Super Bowl. Yeah. John Gruden got him over the hump. But go look at his record and what he did after that. It was fugly. And now he's with the Raiders. I mean, he talks a good game on television. I get it. He knows a lot about football. But his coaching, he paid this guy $100 million? They're not going to get rid of him because of the deal that they signed. If this was anybody else, any other Joe out there, they might be ready to move on from John Gruden. Because the Raiders should not be. This team beat the Chiefs this year. And convincingly, that's the Chiefs' only loss. But since then, the season has just been disappointing. It really has. And the Raiders shouldn't be as bad as they are. I blame that on John Gruden. All right, 866-987-2570 is our telephone number if you want to chime in on NFL. And Eric Dickerson is upcoming momentarily. We'll talk with him. Rob Parker and Jonas Knox in for the guys on this New Year's week. And we'll be on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for the guys, Jonas Knox and I. So make sure you keep it locked here on AM 570 LA Sports. I know people think I'm crazy about the John Gruden thing. And people look at him as a football savant and how smart he is and all that. It's just at some point you gotta pay up. You gotta pay off the bet. When somebody pays you big money, you gotta win. You gotta make the playoffs. Can't lose games like they lost yesterday. It just doesn't even make any sense. But there we are. And the Anthony Lynn thing, I get it. As bad as the Chargers have been, if they win this game, they'll have won four games in a row, finished a respectable 7-9. And then you start to say, well, look, the players didn't quit on Anthony Lynn. They could have easily quit, rolled over, and not played hard and not won these games. And then it would be easy to let them go. Remember a couple of years ago when they went to New England, I thought they were going to beat the Patriots. I really did. I really, really did. All right, right now, get a great deal on the Ford F-150, the best-selling full-size pickup in California during the Ford Built for the Holiday Sales event. Now let's welcome in the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest running backs who ever played in the National Football League, E.D. Eric Dickerson. What's up, E.D.?
What's up, my man? How you doing? What's happening?
Man, doing good. Hope you had a great Christmas, you and the family.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's all about Black Santa Claus over here.
Oh, there you go. Santa Claus was black at my house, too.
Black Santa Claus over here.
Man, let's get into a couple things NFL-wise. First, the big national story. I want to just run there first. Dwayne Haskins waived by the Washington football team. You know the whole story, E.D. You know, the guy's at a strip club, maskless. You know, bringing that back to the locker room and his teammates, definitely selfish and immature. And then, you know, he's a young guy, I get that. And then he hadn't played that well, and then there was stuff about his work ethic. They waived him today. Was that fair or not?
Well, you know, you want to say no, but you have to say yeah, because, you know, you can't have that kind of conduct right now, especially, you know, going to strip clubs. I mean, if you go to strip club, if that's what you want to do, fine, but you can't do it right now.
Right.
You can't do that stuff right now because you're not just endangering your life. How about other people, other players? You know, they got family members, they got moms and dads, they got kids. You can't do that. I mean, it's really immature. I mean, and I understand. You know, I was 22, 23 years old once upon a time too. You don't think it's gonna never happen to you? So, you know, you're not. If he was playing great, he wouldn't got waived.
We know that. What the perfect example is? James Harden, who also was pictured. They had pictures of him at a place with strippers with no mask, but he's a great player, and there's only about 8 or 9 guys who can do what he does, so he'll get a pass, but you know that. Eric, if you're not a good player, man, they're going to get rid of you.
Oh, you're gone. I mean, you're gone, so, I mean, you have to expect that. So hopefully if somebody picks him up and he's like a project, you know, he'll know next time not to do these kind of things. And if he never plays again, when he looks back at his career, especially when he's older, he'll like, man, that was stupid. You know, you don't see it now. You think they did him wrong, but he did himself wrong. He did his teammates wrong.
No doubt about it. Let's flip to the Rams. Jared Goff has the busted thumb. Doesn't look like he's going to play. It seemed like it would be real hard for him to play. The Rams, the last couple of weeks, what has happened to this football team? And do they still have a chance of making the playoffs, Eric?
You know what? I can use this scenario with the Rams. It reminds me of my rookie season. We had 3 games to play, just like the Rams had 3 games to play. We needed to win 2 to win the division. If we won 1, we got in the playoffs. So we had the Eagles to play, and we're not going anywhere. We had the Patriots to play, they were not going anywhere. And we had the Saints to play. We lost the first 2 and won the last one. Barely on a field goal, on like a 45-yard field goal by Mike Lansford. And it's almost that same scenario. I mean, the defense is playing great.
Right.
But the offense isn't. It's almost like Jeff Fisher era all over again. Not that McVay is Jeff Fisher, by no means. I mean, I think McVay is a great coach. But if the defense is playing great, but the offense is just not moving the ball. And, you know, this is a quarterback-driven league. It is. And so you have to start looking at your quarterback. I mean, look, the days of the drop-back quarterback, I've said this for a while, is over. Those days are over. You got to have a guy that can run, throw, you know, do it all. And honestly, we don't have that. I hate to say it, we just don't have that out of Jared Goff. And, it's not him. You know, and the offensive line let him down some too. But, you know, you could tell yesterday that he did not have – he was not confident. And the defense was like, we're going to make you win this game. We ain't going to let you run. We're not going to let him run the ball. It's going to be on you. And, you know, he couldn't answer. I mean, I think at one point, you know, when I saw him, that interception was just like unacceptable. I mean, you have to call it like you see it. I mean, because when he got down, I kept saying, please don't throw an interception. Please don't throw an interception. Because in those kind of games, you can't turn the ball over. You turn the ball over, you're going to have a major problem. You're going to end up losing. That's what happened. I mean, you know, it's a lot on him. It's a lot of pressure on him. It is. It's a lot of pressure on him to play that position. Look at his contract. I'm not looking at his contract. I'm just looking at the play. I just go by the play. Forget the contract. The play. He's not playing very well right now. And it's hurting the offense tremendously. That's what it comes down to. And our defense is stellar, but the offense is just really sputtering.
Eric, when you see Jared Goff throw a pick like he threw, the one that you referenced, which I didn't know if he was trying to lead Robert Woods on the play or if he was trying to throw it away, but it was inexcusable. When you see a throw a pick like that, as a player, as a teammate of Jared Goff's, what do you think the feeling is for guys? Are you rolling your eyes? Are you talking to each other on the sidelines going, what the hell is this guy doing that's costing us big here?
You have to. You might not say it because that's your teammate, first of all. Remember that. I mean, nobody plays great all the time. None of us do. I mean, we all have those kind of games. But right now, I mean, these games, it's like every week he turns the ball over. I mean, it's like, you know, you say that, you know, I hate to use the word game manager because, you know, he shouldn't be a game manager. You know, you want your quarterback to be one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. We gave up 2 number 1 draft picks, you know, to get Jared Goff. And we haven't had that draft. We haven't had a number 1 draft pick in I think 5 years. So, yes, of course. You know, you'd be like, "Damn, man, again." I mean, I'm just being honest. That's what guys will say. They may not say it to you or him. They say that, "Man, come on, man, this is some bull." You know,
Eric, it's been so bad. I renamed him Jared Tennis instead of golf because it's been that bad.
It's not even good. Just
The thing is, it's sad because I always want to see players play well. Any player for any team. I don't want to see a player struggle like this. And he's struggling. I mean, he's struggling. You can almost tell to me McVay has lost confidence in him because when he get down by the goal line,
yep.
Normally, you know, we run the football. We never did that before. And I'm not saying it was a bad call, but I mean it was like no semblance of a pass, no threat of a pass. It's like we don't want to put the ball in the air. Then he fumbled it. He fumbled it. Luckily, they couldn't figure who picked it up, who recovered it. I mean, he's becoming a turnover machine. You can't turn the ball over that much, and you're the guy that's going to always touch the ball. It's a major problem.
And also, Eric, I was thinking about the Eric Dickerson joining us here. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox in for Rogan and Rodney here on AM 570 LA Sports. It's not like he doesn't have weapons around him. This isn't like a Sam Darnold situation. Woods is fantastic. Kupp's been great. Higbee's awesome. There's talent around Jared Goff, and it feels like he's regressing, man. It feels like he's getting worse.
It's almost like he's not sure. Like he's not going through his reads. Like the week before we played the Jets, that third, fourth and four, it was I think Woods was open, a Kupp was open across the middle. I mean for the 4 yards. And it's like they tell you, hey, look, we're gonna try to get the ball to Gerald Everett, but if not, look here. But it's almost like I'm going to Gerald Everett no matter what. To me, I agree. It's just like it's getting worse. I mean, and you know that comes from that's a confidence thing. That is really confidence. I mean, that's what it comes from, confidence. And you know, our quarterback Jared Goff. And like I said, I'm not trying to beat up on him at all. That's not what I'm trying to do because I want to see him play well. I do, but right now he's not. And you have to call it like you see it. I mean, and the big thing is he is prone to turn the ball over. You can't win turn the ball over. You just can't.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is. You know, it's almost like you're waiting for it to happen. Just waiting for it. We know it's going to come. Eric, just like we threw that interception, I said it's coming.
One last thing. We got about a minute or so. Tell me about Anthony Lynn. If they win this game, it will be 4 in a row to finish the season, 7-9 record. Does he get to stick around or has too much damage been done and he probably won't survive?
Man, I don't see how he doesn't stick around. And I'm going to call it like I see it. There's so many bad coaches out there that did such a bad job of coaching over the years. And, and some of them, I'm not going to say, a lot of, you know, white coaches, they get the opportunity we don't get. I mean, it's just a fact. We don't get a chance to lose the 2 years in a row. And the thing with Anthony is, man, his team has been beat up. That's what people don't get. I mean, this year, I think at one point he had 15 starters out. When you got 15 starters out, you know how hard it is to win?
Right.
It's almost impossible. I mean, I think people don't get that because if you got an offensive lineman out, you got three offensive linemen out, you got a safety out, you got a cornerback out, you know, you got a defensive lineman, two defensive line, linebackers. They don't see that. They see the Herberts. They see the big name. If the big name player's out, that's who they see. They don't see those other guys that have those other sometimes thankless jobs that really make the team run, like offensive linemen, linebackers, right. Defensive linemen. They don't see that part. So I think he should keep his job. I don't see the Chargers firing him. I mean, but you know, you never know in football. But I just think he's done a great job for what they've done, what they have to work with.
All right.
Right now, get a great deal on the Ford F-150, the best-selling full-size pickup in California during the Ford Built for the Holidays sales event. That's a great deal, and he is the great Eric Dickerson joining us here. Jonas Knox, Rob Parker, in for Rogan and Rodney here on AM 570 LA Sports. Eric, always fantastic stuff, man. Love listening to you, and it's a pleasure talking with you. Thanks, Eric.
Okay, thanks. All right, Rob, take care, brother.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. All right. It is Rogan and Rodney, AM 570 LA Sports. Stick and stay, Los Angeles.
One or two, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the score, I can get them both. I don't want
it. It is lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. The guys are off. Couple days, Rob Parker and Jonas Knox filling in. We're from Fox Sports Radio. And Jonas. John Gruden
Oh, here we go.
No, John Gruden reminds me of the pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, what's that?
He makes a lot of dough, but he doesn't deliver. I mean, seriously, he's making $10 million. They signed him to a $100 million contract for a coach. They've lost 5 of 6. Did you see that monstrosity yesterday? Not scoring a touchdown and then wind up losing?
Well, first of all, can we not pin that on John Gruden because their crummy defense let him down? How is it John Gruden's fault that Arden Key grabbed Ryan Fitzpatrick's head and tried to rip it off like he was a Pez dispenser? It's not John Gruden's fault. And the decision he made to try and play for the field goal was the right decision. He was doing the right thing. You don't expect that your defense is going to crap themselves on national TV like they did, but they did. And the way I look at it is now we're even because the Raiders shouldn't have won that game against the Jets if not for a terrible defensive scheme and play call by New York. So now they're even. So now the Raiders got burned in reverse. Now we're right back to where we should have been, Rob Parker.
All right, which all loses a 5 out of 6. They beat the Chiefs earlier this year, right? And they beat them.
Yeah, they did.
And they've been terrible since. I mean, let's just be honest. This team shouldn't be making the playoffs. They shouldn't be in the mix. Why have they lost 5 of 6 and are out of it now? I mean, John Gruden was paid top dollar to what? Deliver them, give them a chance to get to the playoffs, get to the playoffs, make a run. Anybody can coach not to be in the playoffs. Why is he making all this money? And go look at his record. I brought it up earlier, Jonas, when he came to Tampa Bay and took over Tony Dungy's team. They won a Super Bowl. I give him credit.
All right.
But what happened after that?
Yeah, no, listen, I get it. John Gruden, and here's the answer to your question. Why is he making all this money? He's making all this money for the same reason you make all this money, Rob Parker, because he was good on TV. And people have seen you on Going Rogan. They know what you are. And because of your performances on Going Rogan, you got a big fat contract, and you're making all this sort of coin. And John Gruden's got the same deal. So I don't know why you're ripping on John Gruden. If you guys both you basically have the same agency representing you, I don't understand what the issue is here. What's the problem here?
It ain't even close. My thing is this guy's still living off of that Super Bowl that happened 20 years ago. I mean, like, dude, look at how bad it was in Tampa Bay after that Super Bowl. And yes, he did a nice job on ESPN, and he sounded like a football coach, and the quarterback camp and all that other stuff all sounds good. Can you win some football games?
All right. And so what's your solution? What do you want to happen to John Gruden? Go ahead. Say it.
Do you ever hear whacked? Move on?
So you want him fired. You want John Gruden fired. You think he should be fired?
I just don't – It's not because I'm being a prisoner of the moment because they lost yesterday. I just don't get it. Like the record, look at his last 4 or 5 years as a head coach. It's brutal, not ugly, fugly, Jonas. It's been bad.
I would agree that this meltdown this season is a little bit troublesome because if you go back to the Sunday night game they had against the Chiefs in which – And this goes back to the defense. They had a lead on Kansas City. It looked like they were going to sweep the season series. And there was conversations that they might actually be a threat to win that division based on owning the tiebreaker over KC. And then all of a sudden, the defense gets on the field. Kansas City gets the ball back, and they go 75 yards in a minute 15. And then Derek Carr throws an interception, but the feeling was, oh, don't worry about it. You know, at least we're in the right direction. And at least we should feel good about where we are at as a football team and as an organization with the way that we competed with KC. So I get it. It's a little bit troublesome, but I still think they're in the right direction. And I don't think now's the time that you pull the plug on John Gruden and you pull the plug on what is happening with the Raiders in Las Vegas in their first season there. I just don't think now's the time you do it. Me personally.
I just think at some point when you're paying guys top dollar, you expect some results. And this year, if you're a Raiders fan, you can't accept that this is okay. I mean, this is not okay. It was awful. It was terrible. It was terrible.
I agree. The defense is brutal.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about in the final hour of the program. It is Rogan and Rodney. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox filling in for the guys here on AM 570 LA Sports. Stick and stay LA.